Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We started a series last week called The Good Fight of Faith. And so I want to do a little bit of a recap, and then we can take off from where we left off. So we found out that we can lose by default by just not showing up. But we can also lose by not fighting and quitting, by giving up. And so the encouragement last week was don't give up. Don't give up. So to win, we must fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says this. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So, he says here that we are to fight the good fight of faith in order to lay hold of the abundant life and living that God has provided for us in Christ. So if we want to lay hold of it, right? We want to get a hold of it. If we want to enjoy it, say enjoy. If we want to enjoy it, we're going to have to fight for it. Now, the question is, what kind of fight is it? And so we answered that question. I said, but before we answer the question, we need to understand this part. We need to understand that Jesus has already won the victory for us, right? That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus went to hell. That's why Jesus was raised from the dead to win the fight for us. Amen? So we're not fighting to win over the devil. The devil is already, the Bible says, been brought to naught. He's a big zero. So the only way he has any influence is if we actually give it to him. He has no authority. Jesus has taken the keys, right, back that Adam had given to the devil in the beginning, and then Jesus got it back and now has transferred that authority back to us. And so if we give that to the devil, and we found out that one of the key ways that we open the door or allow the devil to operate in our lives is through fear. And so that's why throughout the scripture, there's the statement, fear not, fear not, fear not. But it's never just left as fear not. There's always a reason or something for us to do, because you can't just not fear. It's just like don't doubt. Don't doubt. What do you mean don't doubt? Well, you can't just don't doubt. You have to believe something else. Doubt is believing something contrary to the Word of God. And so for us to not doubt, we're just going to have to choose to believe something else. So we just choose to believe the Word, right? And so we can't just fear not. Just don't fear. Well, how do you don't fear? I mean, you have to choose to believe and act on something else. Instead of believing the fear and acting on the fear, let's believe the promise of God. Let's believe the Word of God and act on the Word of God. So we all of a sudden become very occupied being doers and believers of the Word and not doers and believers of the fear, right? The lie of the enemy. So fear is the number one way that we empower the devil in and over our lives. So we are not fighting to win over the devil. Jesus has already won that victory for us. But the fight is, for us, is to enforce that win and that victory in our life. We are enforcing that victory in our lives. Okay? So we talked about this then. It is a fight. And what kind of a fight is it? It's a fight, number one, to stay in the ring under pressure. It's number one, it's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. A fight to stay in the ring under pressure, right? Because pressure will come. Life just is full of pressure. Just don't let the pressure make you quit and step out of the ring. Stay in the fight. It's a fight to not give up when we feel like it. And we will feel like it. But it's a fight, and it's called the good fight because we win. So there's not going to be more pressure than we have the ability to withstand and to stand. There's not going to be our feelings are not going to have so much empowerment in our lives that we're going to quit. It won't, because it's a good fight.
Jesus has already won, so we just need to make a choice that we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up when we feel like it. It's a fight to what? To believe and do what we said we believe when everything is telling us not to. When everything and everyone seems to be telling us, don't believe this, don't believe that, don't believe those promises. Those things have passed away, that's just old, you know. God's not even real. There's just temptation. But it's a fight. It's a fight. Why? It's a fight to believe and do and act on, right, what we say we believe, even when everything is telling us not to. And number four, it's a fight to keep speaking the word when it looks like nothing is changing. We keep speaking the word of God. We keep declaring what God said. We acknowledge and agree with Him about our situation and circumstances rather than what it looks like. And some things, many times, don't change overnight. We're going to have to continue to speak the Word of God, declare the Word of God, what He has said. So, because of Jesus, Satan and his forces are dethroned, disarmed, and losers. So let's pick up 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Verse 57. This is one of my favorite verses from when I was a teenager. When I heard this, it's like, are you kidding me? That is amazing. Verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was an athlete in high school. I like winning. I like winning. Winning, 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 winning. I like winning. And so when I saw this, it's like, this is glory to God. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. And then, just a page over, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "Now thanks be to God who always," say always,
"always.
He always causes us to triumph in Christ." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "He always causes us to triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Hallelujah. He always causes us to triumph in Christ, and we are diffusers of His fragrance. We are diffusers of His presence wherever we are. We diffuse the knowledge of His goodness. So when people look at us, they ought to see something that brings glory to God. We're diffusers. Now you can buy your oils, and you can buy that, and you can get diffusers, and you can make your room smell real bright, nice and pretty and sweet, or however. But we're diffusers of the fragrance of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says, talking about Jesus, calls Him the sweet rose of Sharon. And we've been in meetings where the rose fragrance filled the room during praise and worship. Fragrance, His fragrance, filled the room. Did you smell that? Yes, I smelled that. Did you smell that? Yes. Did you smell it before? No, I didn't. It just came. It did come. See, His fragrance. But we're carriers of His fragrance wherever we are and wherever we go. We're diffusers of His presence. Hallelujah. So, Jesus won the victory for us, so we are now to enforce that victory in our lives. So don't let the devil knock you out of the fight or trick you into giving up. Say, I refuse to give up. Amen. We refuse to give up. Hallelujah. Stay in the fight by continuing to speak the word, talking to the rock. So that was one of the series that we talked on, I think, a few months ago. I taught on a message on talking to the rock. All right. Moses was instructed to talk to the rock and water would come out. He didn't obey God. He beat the rock and got reprimanded for it. But There was this new way of doing things that God was trying to implement and reveal and teach the people that their words are important. Their words are important. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love to talk it, they that love the will eat the fruit thereof. If we love to talk death, we get death. If we love to talk life, we get life. That's the fruit we get. That's this. If we sow seeds of death and cursing, that's what we get. If we sow seeds of life and blessing, that's the harvest we get. So our words are very powerful. So now let's pick up here. The word fight. We're instructed to fight the good fight of faith. What does the word fight mean? So the word fight in the Greek can also be translated here in 1 Timothy, struggle. To labor fervently, to strive, effort, conflict, contention, and race. Let me read that again. Struggle. Labor fervently. Strive. Effort. Conflict. Contention. And race. So what kind of a fight is it? Well, it's a good fight. We're to fight the good fight of faith, so we're to struggle. In other words, it's a fight, it's going to be a struggle. What does that mean? It means it's not going to be easy. There's going to be a struggle. Have you ever come to a real big door? You got some little doors, and you know they're hollow doors, and you can kind of open them, and they swing real easy. But if you come to a real big door, and it's a solid door, or you get some of those, you know, spinning doors in some of the buildings like downtown Calgary or Edmonton, I mean, you can walk into it and bang into it, but you got to push. There's some effort required to get inside the building and effort to get outside the building. There's a struggle. It's going to require some effort. Struggle. Labor fervently. That's not just regular labor. That's like extra labor. Right? Fervent labor. It's going to be hard work. To strive. Effort. Effort. It's going to take more effort than just normal. You know, when you lift weights, you know, you've got a certain amount of effort just to raise your hands. But all of a sudden, when you throw some weights on, you know, your hands, all of a sudden it's going to require more effort. And the more weights you put in your hands, the more effort it will require. Or if you're doing squats and you're doing stuff with your legs, all of a sudden you can do so much with your legs, but then all of a sudden you start putting some heavier weight on, it's going to require more effort. More effort. So it's not just normal, average, ordinary. It's going to be effort, extra effort, fervent effort. And then there's going to be conflict. Conflict. And people don't like conflict. They don't like conflict. They want to just kind of stay back from conflict. But it's interesting, which is commendable, but the fact of the matter is there's going to be conflict. You know, someone says, well, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. Well, on the one hand, that's fine. On the other hand, that gets us beat up. That gets us losing the fight. So we ought to be lovers. But when it comes to the devil, and when it comes to us getting and obtaining what God has for us, living and enjoying our inheritance in the family and the kingdom of God, it's going to take a fight. We're instructed to fight the good fight of faith because the devil is not going to let us enjoy anything. Why? He has come for this purpose, John 10:10. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's Satan's MO. That's all he wants to do for us. He does not want us to enjoy anything. He hates us. He doesn't play fair. And so there's going to be a conflict. We want to enjoy what God has for us. We want what Jesus bought and purchased for us. And the devil doesn't. So there's a conflict. Right there, there's a conflict. And so we're going to have to fight to lay hold and to obtain what is legally ours in the kingdom of God. So there's going to be conflict, which means there's also going to be contention. There's going to be contention. So we love people. We love God. But there is no mercy for the devil. And so when he brings thoughts contrary to the word of God, we are to attack them quickly. Don't let them linger. Don't let the fear linger. We attack them. We cast them down. And how do we do that? By speaking. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Every single time. Jesus didn't say, well, it's just my opinion. It's just my thought. No, no, he said, it's written. That's how we fight. That's how we attack. That's how we cast those thoughts down that are contrary to the word of God. So there's going to be a fight, a struggle. It's going to require effort. There's going to be a conflict and contention. It's going to be a race. What's the purpose of a race? To win. Exactly. Three-letter word, win. The purpose of a race is to win, right? First place. First place. Now, the good news in the kingdom of God is we can all be first placers because we're running our own race. So we're not competing with one another. But there is an enemy that's going to try to hinder our winning. There's an enemy against us. And so there is a race. My a friend of mine runs Ironman, the marathons and everything, the bike and the run and the swim. And so it does quite well. But the purpose, you know, and if you do it for fun, you do it for fun. But we need to understand that we're not doing life just for fun. We are doing life to win. Because the devil is not just being the devil for fun. He's really wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, but the good news is, if he actually could do it whenever he wanted to, we'd all be dead. So he just cannot do whatever he wants to do. It's what we allow him to do in our lives. So, we are encouraged to fight the good fight of faith in order to lay hold of the abundant life and living that God has provided for us in Christ. Now, let's talk about this fight. It's a fight, not a vacation. Do we understand the difference? Because on vacation, this is what we do on vacation. On vacation, we disengage and we relax, right? We just go relax. Well, if we go to the beach, you relax. I mean, if you go skiing, you just go out in the country and you go skiing and then you relax and you relax in the hot tub or you relax, you know, whatever. You just kind of hang out when you're with friends. I mean, it's just you relax and you disengage. You disengage. You don't think about work. You don't think about everything that's back at home, your daily routine, because you're completely out of your daily routine. It's just relax and disengage. But this is not a vacation, it's a fight. The good fight of faith, it's not wise for us to pretend we're on vacation in the middle of the fight of faith. Because if we relax and disengage, the devil will have the upper hand and he will be able to trick us and use our authority against us. So we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. So we're not on vacation. We don't need to relax and disengage. So there's a balance. Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living. This is what Jesus said he's come to give us in John 10:10. So he's contrasting what the devil has come and what he has come to do. So there's this balance that we need to find out that we're always need to be on guard and engaged in regards to the enemy against us, the fight of faith. But then also we need to just enjoy life with Jesus. Walk with him, allow him to lead and guide us, and just enjoy. So we relax and we enjoy him and enjoy life, and at the same time we're always on guard. Amen? And so there's this, it takes practice. It takes practice. To always be, just be alert. Enjoying and always being alert. Right? So it's a fight. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. Some people say life is hard. Life is hard. This is hard, that is hard, this is hard, that is hard. And it's true. It's hard. But you need to understand, everything that's worthwhile is hard. So we can, I've heard it said this way, we need to choose our hard. We need to choose our hard. Why? Because you can choose Let me use this illustration to start things off. We can choose to just enjoy, relax, you know, don't do much. Just when it comes to a job, when it comes to income, and just kind of relax. We want to just take it easy. We want to have fun. Fun in our 20s, fun in our 30s. Fun in our 40s, and then we'll find out in the 50s, you know, retirement's closer than we thought, and 60s, retirement's coming, and 70s, all of a sudden it's like, man, I haven't prepared. Because all I wanted was fun on the front end, and all of a sudden it started getting hard on the back end. Whereas if we decided to make some wise choices here that may not have been so fun, but they were choices that were kind of hard, because maybe not everyone's doing it. Generally, not everyone's doing it. So we make some wise choices here. Financially, it sets us up so things can be easier here. You know, we can talk about our health. We can decide, you know what? I don't feel like working out, and I don't feel like eating right, and I really don't feel like not. That's not fun. There's no fun in that. I just want to relax and take it easy and just play and have fun. And then all of a sudden, you know, years comes down, and all of a sudden, you know what? There's this diagnosis of diabetes 1 or 2 or 3, or all of a sudden you've got this struggle and that struggle, and the body's falling apart, and haven't even made it to 40 yet. How does that happen? Well, because we didn't put the effort in. Well, that's hard. That's not so fun. But let's do some hard stuff at the front end so we can enjoy some ease at the back end. Amen? Hard. Choose our hard. Do we want hard at the front? Do we want hard on the back? It's going to be hard somewhere. It's going to be hard somewhere. Why don't we make our choice? We choose where the hard is going to be. It's always easier if we choose where the hard is going to be, and instead of life becoming hard and there's not a whole lot we can do about it, finding ourselves in a hard situation, a hard circumstance. So let's choose. Pick our hard. Let's choose. I have one of my Bible school teachers. His name is Keith Moore. Keith and Phyllis, now pastor churches in Branson, Missouri, and in Sarasota, Florida. And back in the day when they were younger, they were married basically at a high school. They found that they didn't like one another. They're married and they didn't like one another. And so, you know, they were thinking of getting a divorce, but then they decided, you know what, they loved God, they loved His Word, and they wanted God's will. So they decided they were going to do the hard thing. Do the hard thing. What's the easy thing? The easy thing is just say, well, just forget it. Let's move on. And let's just chalk it up to, you know, inexperience. No. They chose the hard thing. We're going to work together. We're going to walk in love. We're going to communicate. We're going to make changes in our life. See, it's very important that we work with the person in the mirror. We need to deal with the person in the mirror. That's who we have responsibility over, is the person in the mirror. Right? Do you know who the person in the mirror is? We see them every day. That's the person we need to work on. That's the person we need to deal with. That's the hard part. We want someone else to change. We want someone else to fix themselves. We want something else to change. It's always someone else's fault, the government's fault, you know, the boss's fault, it's the economy's fault, it's, you know, husband or wife's fault, it's the kid's fault, it's the parents' fault, it's the grandparents' fault. I mean, it's just the weather. I mean, it's God's fault. It's everyone's fault. But we really need to deal with the person in the mirror. look at that person and go say, hey, it's time that we grow up. It's time we get with the program. And we be hard with ourselves. We need to make some changes. We need to be doers of the word. We need to walk in love. We need to. So, we deal with the person in the mirror. And so they began to deal with the person in the mirror and do their part. And over the process of time, they fell back in love with one another. And now all is well for decades and decades and decades. And so they're doing a wonderful job pastoring those churches. So then I told you about my friend. He runs the Ironmans. And so I'm sure he's experienced this. Audrey says she's experienced this, the runner's high. Does anyone know what a runner's high is? Have you experienced a runner's high? Really? See, I've never have. My wife has a couple times too. I have no idea, because when I hit that point where seems like I'm breathing cotton balls, I just said, forget it. This ain't worth it. I quit and I gave up. That was it. This is not fun. This is not fun. I didn't enjoy that. But if you push through that, there is this experience that is supposed to be amazing. And so you know, choose your hard. Choose your hard. We get to choose our hard. You want to choose the hard on the front end, where we push through that to enjoy the runner's high? Or, like me, just say, no, forget it. I'm not interested. So now I can't even testify. I can't even tell you how wonderful it is. I have no idea. That's a promised land I have not entered into. Not experienced. You know what I'm saying? So we need to choose our hard. We need to choose our hard. Talk about praying. Prayer. Who wants to pray? Prayer meeting. You know, a lot of times prayer meetings are the least attended meetings. But the results of a fruitful prayer meeting, a fruitful prayer life, is so wonderful. So sometimes we need to choose the hard. I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. I'm going to pray for half an hour. I'm going to pray for an hour. Pray for an hour to get results. I remember Brother Hagin saying, he began to pray in the Spirit. He prayed for an hour. And the devil brought this thought to his mind: you just wasted your time. Wasted your time. And he thought, huh, why are you so interested in me wasting my time? You actually want me to waste my time, and now you're telling me I'm wasting my time? I must not be wasting my time. So I'm just going to pray another hour, devil. Just because you opened up your mouth. So he prayed for another hour. And then the thought came again. So he prayed. He ended up praying 6 hours. And he says, there's two ways you can get into the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that God placed the prophet or John, it was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So we can be placed in the Spirit by God. He can place us in the Spirit. Or Brother Hagin said, there's another way. You can either be placed in the Spirit, or you can pray in other tongues long enough till you get there. And it took him 6 hours. He prayed for 6 hours, and he broke through. And he entered into a realm in the Spirit that he hadn't been in before. And so, and then the more you do it, the easier it is to get in. It's not so hard. It's kind of like walking. It's like kind of like hiking a hill or hiking a mountain. You know, the first time you do it, you're tuckered out and petered out, and you're huffing and puffing, you know, right at the beginning. You know, 5 minutes in and you're done. But the more you do it, your body becomes accustomed and strengthened to it. All of a sudden it becomes easier. Easier. So, prayer. I mean, you can, easy, don't pray. Easy, just pull out a promise and quote it. God, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Hey, let's eat. You know, you can something quick and easy, or we want some results, we can take some time, put some effort in, do what's hard. What about, well, there's the show on TV, and you know what, my friends are going out, and there's some other stuff, but I really want to spend some time with you, and I want to really, you know, invest some time into whatever the situation and circumstance, I want to pray about this. Let's work on this. And so we invest some time. and we get some fruit, get some results, some heavenly results, God results. Amen? Elijah prayed. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed. Told his employee, go look. Go look. Came back. Ah, nothing. No cloud at all. Praying some more. Praying some more. He said, I think it was 7 times. Go look. Nothing. Go look. Nothing. Go look. Nothing. Praying. Praying. Then he came back and said, it looked like it's a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, oh, it's coming. It's here. You better tell the king to get out of here because it's about to downpour. Right? But it didn't happen because he just prayed once and it's like, oh, that's enough. No, he invested some time. He put the effort in to get the result that was needed. Right? And praise. It's the same thing with praise. You know, we can praise God. And so that's why I say, you know, I mean, we can praise God. We stand up and praise God. But if we get tired, let's sit down. But just because we sit down doesn't mean let's disengage. If we're going to sit down, let's continue to stay engaged. Let's continue to sing from our heart. Let's continue to lift our hands and praise God and continue to just love on Him. The position, whether we're standing or sitting or laying on the floor, it really makes no difference. It's how we're responding from our hearts that's important. So we can praise. And so praise and prayer, I remember hearing years ago, a friend of ours, Billy Brim, would say, you know, you need to learn to step over the log. You know what that means? That means a lot of times we get to a certain point where there's a log in the path. You know, you go hiking and there's a log in the path and you just kind of get to that spot and you stop. You might turn around and sit down on the log and have lunch or have a snack and then you go back. But we have to get to the point where all of a sudden we get to this point that we always come to, and instead of stopping, step over the log. Make a choice to step over the log. Go farther than you've gone before. Go farther than we've gone before. Because that's how we get somewhere we've not been before. By not giving up or just stopping where we always stop. Well, we would just always stop here. Well, let's not just always stop there anymore. Let's step over the log. Let's go one step farther. Just one step farther. Let's go 2 steps farther. And we'll be surprised over the process of time how far we've gone in God because we've just stepped over the log in prayer, stepped over the log in praise. These kind of things. So it's important that we choose to pick our hard. Right? Pick what's going to require some effort right now. Our investment, invest in something hard now to produce a result that we want. Rather than choosing to escape some hard and then find ourselves in a hard, difficult situation in the future that's much more difficult to change than because it's now a harvest of the seeds we sowed. So let's be encouraged to pick our heart. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So what's the gate everyone chooses? What's the road and everyone wants to choose? The easy way. Let's just choose the easy way. The easy way. But the easy way does not have a very good end result. The easy way has a negative end result. But Jesus said, listen, choose the narrow way. And it's narrow because there's lots of obstacles around it. It's not easy. It's narrow because there's obstacles around it. And it's not easy to be seen. And it's not easy to get to. It requires what? Effort. It requires a fight. Effort. Hallelujah. And so, he says, Narrow is the gate and difficult. It requires effort and discipline in this way that leads to life. And this is again the Greek word zoe, which means it's the God kind of life. It's translated eternal life. It's translated everlasting life. John 10, it's translated the abundant life and living. So, in order for us to enjoy this abundant life and living that God has provided for us in Christ, it's going to require us to put forth the effort to enter the narrow gate, to find it, and then put forth the effort to enter it, and the difficulty to continue to walk on that path, to enjoy the results. Amen? That's choosing our hard today so we can enjoy the blessing tomorrow. Amen? So, we are all in a spiritual fight, a fight of faith, whether we like it or not. I remember hearing a story about Abraham Lincoln, and he talked about in his hometown, there was a little dog that always whipped the big dogs. Little dog always whipped the big dogs. Always. The little dog always whipped the big dogs. And so some of the big dog, you know, the question was raised, why does your little dog always beat the big dogs? Why is it that your little dog always beats our big dogs? You know, the big dog owners, I mean, that would just, what's going on? I got the big dog and you got the little dog. And somehow my big dog always runs away from your little dog. Would you quit doing that? You know, what are you doing? Big dog's running away from the little dog. They said, how come your little dog always beats the big dogs? And the guy with the little dog said, my little dog always stays mad. Always stays mad. Always stays mad. What does that mean? That means he's serious right from the get-go. The big dogs, they think the little dog's just playing. And then it dawns on them after a bit. This little dog is serious. Ow, 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 quit it. And then the big dog just says, it ain't worth it. Just, and it runs off. Why? Because the big dog thinks it's on vacation. The little dog is not on vacation. The little dog's on guard. So I'm not saying that we need to be mad. I'm just saying we need to be on guard, right? This is part of the fight of faith. We need to be on guard. We need to be disciplined. So to fight the good fight of faith, we need to be aware of what's going on and understand. And sometimes we just need to understand, okay, you know what? Situation and circumstance happened. You know, all of a sudden I got this tickle in my throat, or all of a sudden I got this pain, and it's like you kind of just don't pay attention to it, and then all of a sudden a day or two or 3 days later, all of a sudden you're sick and you're not feeling so well, and it's like, oh, why didn't I attack that the moment I felt it? Why didn't I jump on that right then and there? So we kind of learn. You know, let's learn from our mistakes. Do you think that's a good idea? Learn from our mistakes. Let's not keep making the same mistake over and over and over. But if we learn from our mistakes, then we set ourselves up for success the next time. More success on and on. So let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll just kind of close here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says this. You know what? Let's go ahead and back up. I think I like to back up to verse 5, just for the fun of it. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. Why? Because God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care on him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But May the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be all the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So what do we see here? Verse 8 says, be sober and vigilant. Why? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy who is walking around seeking whom he may devour. So he can't just devour everyone and anyone, but he's seeking whom he may. In other words, are we going to allow him or not? Are we going to give him access or not? And so we actually have a choice. We have a choice. And so we see, he says, we need to be sober and vigilant. What does that mean? Well, some other translations say this way. We need to stay disciplined, alert, and on guard. Disciplined, alert, and on guard. Disciplined, alert, and on guard. Let's say that together. I'm staying disciplined, alert, and on guard. Hallelujah. This is how we enjoy the victory. This is how we fight the good fight of faith. And so we'll continue on next week in regards to some other keys. But this is what we're talking about today, is that it's a fight. And so we ought not to run from the fight. We ought to embrace the fight. Why? Because Jesus has won the victory for us. And sometimes I think we think because it's hard, and you know, it's like, okay, Pastor, you said that I should have picked some hard stuff to begin with to make it easy now, and now I'm finding myself in some hard situations. I wish I knew this earlier. I wish I knew this 5 years ago. I wish I knew this 10 years ago. I wish I knew this 30 years ago. I wish I knew this last year. I just seem to feel stuck. The good news is the best day to make a new change is today. We can't do anything about our past, but we can do something today about our future. Amen? We can do something today about our future. So we can act on this. We can choose to believe and act on this today to make a change for our future. So you say, I feel stuck. Well, you know what? You're not as stuck as you think you are. You may feel stuck, but God can make a way. God can open doors. God can bring freedom in the midst of being stuck. If things change to that, things can change away from that by our believing and doing and acting on the Word of God. And so I want to pray for us this morning. So we're going to check out. We're going to leave the camera people and our audience there, and we will continue, because I want to pray for us this morning, those that want to be unstuck. God bless.